Gospel of God from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. If you're able, we'll ask you to stand and you can read along with me silently as I read aloud, and I'm going to try to preach this word and get out your way. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. God bless your word. Thank you for the blessings of your word. Bless the hearers and bless the speakers. And may this word have an effect on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've said this before today. I wouldn't serve a God that wouldn't come see about me every now and then. For a subject, how to become a committed disciple so you can live on the Lord's side. Not straddle the fence. Not live for Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church at 603 MLK. Ushers, you may take your seat. But to live on the Lord's side. When you live on the Lord's side, you will mess with other people and on their side. But if you live on the Lord's side, everything will be all right. Might not be hunky-dory down here all the time. But somebody said, this world is not my home. I'm just a stranger traveling through. Don't expect a homestead here. I'm just traveling through. So, but if I'm going to live on God's side, I have to be committed to God. Not to the preacher, not to the deacon or the church or the motherboard, but be committed to the Lord. You have to be. To be a true follower of Christ, there must first be the identification with him. You cannot be on God's side if you don't identify with him. The identification is demonstrated by receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. So many of us want to receive him as Savior when it's convenient. When I get what I need or I want from you, I don't need you to be my God. Just whenever it's convenient. When I'm up and I'm well, I don't need you. But when I get on my bed of affliction, Lord, stop by and see about me. Want everybody in the church praying for me. Want everybody in the city and the state and the county praying for me. But when I'm up and I'm well, do they know that I'm on the Lord's side? You got to receive him as Lord and Savior. And then after you do that, you got to forsake all other systems of belief and trusting completely in him for salvation. It is also a matter of obedience to Christ. If Christ is to be trusted for salvation, he must be accepted as the supreme authority for life. You can't get your information from Oprah and all those other people on TV and from the newspapers. You got to get it from the Word of God. All of that other stuff may help you to see that you don't need to be there, but that does not need to be your source. This Holy Writ needs to be the source of your inspiration. You have to get his principles as revealed in his word, in the Word of God. They must become a pattern for your life. My mind, when I said pattern and I wrote this down, my mind, I was thinking about when they used to have these home economics classes in school, and you had to go and you had to buy a pattern to make a skirt or a shirt. I remember taking home economics out there at Carver Hill with Miss Lillian Davis, and I bought some cloth of a shirt that was black and gold and orange and green, and I started making that shirt. I never did get a chance to wear that shirt because I never did finish it according to the pattern. What you mean by that? God got a pattern for you to live by, and you got to complete the pattern. You got to complete it. And see, sometimes, thank you, Holy Ghost, you make a shirt or something and you will mess it up, but you still wear it. That's what God have done for you. The pattern that God set for you, you messed it up, but you still got to wear this pattern if you stay there. Some of us, and don't y'all look at yourself now. Some of you may have on a number two suit. But you ain't gonna tell nobody that this is a reject. This one got something wrong with it. I'm gonna wear it just like it's off the number one right. That's the way God does all of us. He ain't gonna tell nobody that you're not. You got some flaws in you. I'm good. Y'all have to excuse me. But God done been good to me. And I'm living on the Lord's side. And I'm trying to tell you what it takes to live on the Lord's side. Sometimes there must be an in-reach before there can be an outreach. Some of us want to do reach outreach work all the time, but we don't want to do any in-reach. What you mean in-reach, back? I got to study God's word, and I got to not look at you. I got to look at me and what's on the inside of me and say, God, help me to fix me with your word. I got to reach inside my soul and find out what's wrong. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he personally prepares you for service when he takes the truth from the word of God and ignites it with the holy fire in your heart. Do not set it aside and say, I'm going to wait until another time. I guess that's what God was trying to show Dwight Baggett this morning. I had asked him to let me see those two standing, and he had them here today. I could have put it off and waited till next Sunday, but God hadn't promised me next Sunday. He blessed me with it today, and I thank him for blessing me. So many times God prepares something for us, and we know it's there, but we want to set it aside, want to put it on the back burner and let it simmer. No, you better take it off the back burner and eat it now.
Take your time.
Listen to me. When you do the in-reach, the Holy Spirit will let you know, because he'll set you on fire. We have to discern how the Holy Spirit wants to apply it to my life, not somebody else's life. He reveals to you for you. And if it's really the Holy Spirit, you won't have to worry about anybody else getting help, because he'll help those people that need it. He knows the people that need help. He knows the people that will respond to this message already today. But if I don't preach it, something gonna happen to me. Some of the greatest insights for spiritual growth and ministry may be dropped into your spirit when you least expect it. That's why you need to always be ready to receive what God have for you and what his will, what he wills. And you have to need to accept it on his term, not your term. So many of us want to tell God when and where and how he's going to do what he's going to do. And we miss a blessing on that. If it's an application, the application need to be made. If it's a direction, the direction need to be taken. If it's a truth, the truth need to be shared, and there will be a response. Now I'm fixing to get to my points right now. My points. I probably ought to take my seat, but I got 3 points. There are 3 commitments that are necessary for one to become a committed disciple so he can live on the Lord's side. Point number one. And this was a hard one for me. I don't know about nobody else. First, He must be willing to deny himself or herself. Jesus said, our commitment to him must be greater than any other, to any other person or purpose. We are to dedicate ourselves to him. We are to dedicate our self-will. Our self-will is not the object. Only a will that is selfless can be used of him. If you don't let him use you, you're not his. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up my cross and follow me. Listen. Jesus in his death demanded total commitment of a man. A person must will to follow Christ. The word will means have a desire, a yearning, a wish, or a purpose, or a determined, or a deliberate choice. Brothers and sisters, you have to make a choice. You have to determine yourself that I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And you will have to deny yourself. Deny means to disown. You got to disown yourself and your own will. You have to let it go. You have to reject it, and you have to do without, or to disregard oneself and one's interest. It just to say no. So many times we teach people to say, just say no to drugs, and we don't give them anything else but just say no. They lost. Drugs got them. You have to give them something else to back that up with. You have to deny yourself. You have to want to be rejected. You have to want to be isolated to serve this God. You have to deny yourself and your self-will, because your will is not to do the will of the Father, because you are an earthly vessel and God is a God of heaven and you are earthly. So you're going to want to do earthly things. Amen, lights. A person is to deny themselves. And this means much more than just being negative. That is giving up something and doing without something. If you are a true child of God, you gave up something to become a child of God. And you might not be willing to admit it, but you gave up something. And can I just tell you something else? And I hope this don't send you back out. You're going to give up something else. You're going to give up something else. Because those things that we value that are of this world, they will take you away from the kingdom of Christ. Point in case, I can't talk about nobody else, but I can talk about me. This life that we're living, it has so many attractions, so many things to draw us. And don't you fool yourself just because you used to do something. Don't you think that that same urge won't hit you again? It'll hit you again. And sometimes all you got to do is just have a mental flashback. Or if you're looking in your old scrapbook or reading an old newspaper, or you go home for Christmas or go to a New Year's party, you have flashbacks. And you have to deny yourself. You have to quit. You have to hurry up and leave there. Paul, the word does not say you will not remember those things, but you can't go back there. Forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to the mark. That's what you have to do. You have to do it every day. If you don't, the devil will get you. He will get you. I'm enjoying this. What it means is that we are to act positive, and we are to say yes to Christ and no to ourselves. We have to constantly say no to ourselves. And when I say no to myself, I try to be right here in this word. Find it in this word, and I can handle it. Do I like it? No, you don't like it all the time. God put all this stuff here for me to enjoy. But some of the enjoyment, I ought to know that it ain't for me. Because of the life, the stand that I have taken. Because I said I'm gonna live a life for God because I'm committed to Him. I'm gonna live on the Lord's side. That's what we have to decide, which side we're on. We used to play a game called Red Rover. Red Rover, Red Rover, send so-and-so right over. And they stand up there and they try to break through the line. If they broke through the line, they could get one of you and take them back to their side. The devil stands in our lives and say, Red Rover, send blank, blank, blank right over. And they come, and when they break through, he just grab us and take us on back. You cannot do that. We have to remain strong. And see, sometimes if you just, instead of holding hands, if you just lock wrist to wrist and hold on, then when they hit, they're not going to go anywhere. And see what you need to do when the devil come at you, don't give him room. Don't even listen to the joker. I don't care how good he or she looks, what they got to say, or how good that cake look. If you don't need to eat that cake, don't look at it two times. Look at it once and keep going. That's personal now. Point number two. If I'm going to live on the Lord's side, I personally must take up my cross. People in Jesus' day knew what it meant to take up a cross. Because most of the time they went into a big city, criminals, they could see them hanging on crosses. And they knew what the saying, take up the cross, meant. So that means you have to do something. You got to bear some influences. They saw scores of criminals bearing crosses to the place where they were to be executed. You have to bear your cross. Whatever it is, you have to bear. Can't anybody else take it for you? If God would reveal to you in the spirit now what the people is in here, you'd see some crosses. You see some people carrying some crosses because we have them. And you might not know you have them, but then again, most of the time you do know. You do know. You just are not willing to admit it. You have to bear that cross. It takes a positive, active behavior to bear your own cross, to will to deny self, to take up one's cross and follow Christ. The believer counts himself crucified with Christ. That's what he means by take up your cross and follow me. You have to know that you have been crucified with Christ. With him mean that when he went to the cross, you went with him. All of your sin, all you have to do is take them to the cross. And when you take them to the cross, you need to leave them there. If I'm going to live on the Lord's side, I have to be crucified. You cannot live on the Lord's side and not be crucified. You got to die. Point blank. You got to die. And that's what's wrong with a lot of us. We don't want to die. We want to stay up. We want to bear our cross and yet be alive. I just told you a few seconds ago, the people that bared the cross were bearing the cross of their own death. You got to die. Simple, especially to yourself and the will of the world. You have to bear that cross and die, but yet live. I can't remember where this is or where it's found. It says, Paul said, to live for me is to gain, but to die. He was saying, it's better for me to die and go and be with Christ, but I'd rather live so you can see Christ working in my life. We need to show others how Christ is working in our life by showing them that we can be crucified and yet live. I'm crucified, but yet I live. Not me, but the Christ that's in me. The Christ that's in me is what lives. The reason I can stand today and preach the word of God is because Christ is alive in my soul. Because when he's alive, I got to stand up and preach his word. I have to teach his word. I can't stay at home. I got to come. God ask you to bear your cross. And when you bear the cross, you got to die.
Yes, sir. Right,
Lord. I ain't playing this. Thank you, Lord. They tell the story of a man in Jerusalem who was a cross maker. He made crosses for the Roman government, him and his son. And he had taught his son how to make crosses. And his son, the first cross he made, he put a symbol on it that he didn't tell his daddy he was putting on it. He put a symbol on that cross. And so the story goes, when Jesus was bearing that cross up Dolorosa Road, Jesus had that cross on him, bearing it up that hill, and the little boy saw it. So when he goes home, he tells his dad, I said, that man they killed, Jesus of Nazareth, said he bore my cross. His dad said, oh, no, son. He said, yes, he did. He was telling him the truth physically, but spiritually he was telling him the truth as well. Jesus did bear the cross for all of us because he died so all of us would have a right to the tree of life. Without him bearing his cross, going to Calvary, we wouldn't have a right to the tree of life. Each one of us must bear our own cross. But now we want to bear our cross and yet be alive. Not so. I'll tell you again, and if you don't get it, I hope you hear it in your sleep. You got to die. You got to die. You got to die to yourself and not let it become part of you. The believer does not allow sin to reign in his or her body. You do not allow sin. You have to let sin into your life. And sin will get in if you don't watch out. You can think you got it all wrapped up and all barred out. And before you know it, you spent 16 months trying to get one thing out of your life. And within 5 seconds or 5 minutes, it's back. It's back. And it will be worse than it was before. Uh-huh. Yeah. If you just like to drink a little bit and you do without for about 5 or 6 months, when you start back, you worse. You worse because you started all over again. With anything else too, lying. All of it's bad. So sometimes we won't commit ourselves to it, but we allow our bodies or our mind to become instruments of sin. Don't allow the devil of your or your friends to use you for their sin. You don't allow them to do that because that's not what Christ would do. If you die to sin, believers, and I'm going to get to point three in a minute. Believers die to sin. Lord, yes, mm-hmm. What have you noticed a dead tree doing? Nothing. Not a thing. Not a thing. So if you are dead to sin, this means sin does not motivate you to perform that. If you're dead to sin, if you're dead, you do nothing. But you are alive to Christ. Point number three, and I got a conclusion too. So there must be a following after Christ. How can I be a follower after Christ? I need to become a disciple of Christ, a learner and a follower. We must seek to emulate his example. Christ is our model. Not Pastor Baggett. Not Minister Allen or Minister Child, but Jesus is our model. Don't it's okay to have earthly examples, but Christ is our model. We are to put Christ first in all areas of our life. If Christ is not first, he's not anything. He will not be number two. A disciple is committed to a life of purity and is taking steps to separate themselves from sin. And you notice I said taking steps. You have to always be taking steps to remove yourself, separate yourself from sin. You have to make an effort to separate yourself from sin. A disciple has a daily devotion time and is developing his or her prayer life. You got to have private time with God. You got to have a devotional time with God every day of your life, sometimes three or four times a day, because you need to spend that quality time with God. Some of us remember when our husband or our wife or that significant other, we were trying to get them to fall in love with us. We spent all the time we could think of with them. That's what you need to do with God. You need to spend time alone with God, quality time, not just a instant time, quality time. If the only time you spend with God is Sunday morning from 11:30 to 12:30, you missing the boat. You losing 167 hours of that week. It's not but 168 in the week. But if you only give God 1 hour a day, 1 hour a week, it's 168 hours in a week, and a tenth of that is 16 hours and 1/8 of an hour. You need to give God that much time. Tithe your time to God. If you tithe your time with your devotional and your Bible reading, you will spend quality time with God. A disciple demonstrates faithfulness and a desire to learn and apply the word of God to his life. See, you have to, after you learn this word, you have to apply it to your life. Some of us just want to learn it up here and don't want to transfer it. There are a whole bunch of people that know this scripture, but they don't live it. I'll give you a prime example. This guy we call Satan. He knows this word. He knows it, but he does not live it. You have to live this word of God. And when you live this word and apply it to your life, Reverend Jett does a thing, he called it SAM. Study, model, and apply. Study, model, and apply. If you study it, then you can model it, then you can apply it to your life. See, the reason some of us can't do anything with it, we just study it. We don't try to live it. Nor do we try to apply it to our lives. We just study. Lord, let this go off right. We get saved intellectually. We get saved intellectually. We get saved from our neck up. We don't get saved anywhere. We know this. And y'all heard me say this before. In my yesterdays, I could win arguments in the Bible because I studied it to win arguments. I can't win one now, but I try to win in life. If we get it all in our head and not in our heart, it's not going to do us that much good. You will be intellectually saved. You will know what it takes to be saved, but you cannot apply it to your life.
Tell it.
A disciple, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you have to have a heart for witnessing. You have to give your testimony clearly and present the gospel regularly with increasing skills. Listen, if you are not going to study God's word, you cannot minister for God. If you're going to study God's word, if you're going to minister God, you got to study God's word. If you just want to come show up all the time and don't study, no. You have to study so you can witness to other people. A Christian that does not witness is a no-no. It's like saying a skunk won't spray his must. If he's alive and he still got it, he'll spray it. Like picking up a rattlesnake saying he won't bite. If he got a mouth, he'll bite.
Amen.
See, people with dogs say the dog won't bite. The dog will bite. So we need to study this word so we will be able to witness to those people that need to hear the word of God. And sometime, every now and then, you'll get a chance to witness by running your mouth. Most of the time, if you witness, it's going to be you're going to witness because of the way you're living. Okay. If you're a disciple, if you're going to be a truly disciple and witness for God and live on God's side, you have to attend church regularly to worship God and to have your spiritual needs met. And don't forget this, to make a contribution to the body of believers. I'm glad you asked. I'm not talking about offering. You can need to make a contribution to the body of believers by depositing a word in somebody's life, allowing somebody to see you do what thus saith the Lord, and you don't plan for them to see you. If you do it so I can see you do it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You've gotten your compliments, your blessing when I pat you on the back and said thank you for doing it. Like all those phone calls that I received the last 9 or 10 days when I was out, and the cards and the cakes and the, yeah. God, and I'm not going to tell you who did it, so you won't know. But God knows. When we do what we do for the glory of God, that's a witness. That's a witness for God, because you are dispersing the glory and the blessings that he has bestowed upon you. Somebody even text me a message, and I don't text. But I thank God for it. When I figured my wife showed me how to read it, and so I read it. I'm just telling the truth, y'all. A disciple fellowships regular with other believers, displaying unity and love. Listen, if the only people you fellowship with are the people that you see Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night in church, you missing something. You need to fellowship with other believers because you can witness to them. And no matter how saved we are never so saved that we do not need witnessing to about the goodness of God. All of us need to be witnessed to about the goodness of God. A disciple's, I guess I'll say this one for last because this one is real important, y'all. A disciple demonstrate a servant heart by helping others in practical ways. Simplicity, simple things to help others in. Display it to others, help somebody else. And sometimes it's just how you doing. Stop by, nothing's wrong. I just wanted to say hello. Those are the practical ways that we can help others when we are witnessing for God, when we are following Jesus. Jesus did things for people to help them to see his Father. And that's what we need to do. Don't do what you do for other people for them to see you or Macedonian Missionary Baptist Church. God is bigger than you or Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church. God is God all by himself, and we need to exalt him to be a witness of him, to follow Jesus. Jesus died as much for Adolf Hitler as he did for you. Yeah, he did. I mean, that's just it. He died for all, but whether we receive it or not, that's the kicker to it. Well, I'm down to my conclusion now. If you're going to be a committed child of God and live on God's side, one thing you need to make sure you do is do not draw attention to yourself. You need to be active in doing the work of the Father. You need to understand that God is not a slothful God. God is a God that's always busy and doing things. A true servant of God are those who are busy doing their business and the business of the Lord. A servant is able and willing to teach others those things that God has put into him. Does not say you got to have a master's degree, but you got to be able to teach. Teaching is instructing those things that you have learned from to somebody else. And there's not a person in the world that if they live for any while at all cannot teach you something if you're willing to listen. A dog that can't talk your language can teach you something. If you don't believe it, let a Rottweiler be on the inside of a yard and the owner got a sign up, beware of dog. And you go in that yard. Most of the time, that dog would run you out of there because the owner had up a sign, beware of dog, and you went inside, so you didn't take him. That dog would teach you that the next time you see a sign said beware of dog, you will believe that sign. So therefore, we need to always be willing to learn things from people. They can always teach you something, but you have to be willing to learn. If you're willing to learn, God can teach you, and you can be an example for others. And sometimes I think we're in the church sometime we mess up, we do things that are wrong, and sometime when we do those things that are wrong, we don't see them as teaching. But I stop by to tell you, when you do wrong, you're teaching people too. You're teaching them what not to do, what don't do like this, don't do like that. That's why I'm always on guard with where I go and what I do and what I say and the way that I say things. May say them sound harsh sometime, but if they sound harsh to you, come back and talk to me and I'll try to explain it to you a different way. But I'm going to try to tell you the same thing. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I may have told you in a way that if you don't change your life, you're going to go to hell. But I'll tell you this way, if you love God and you walk away from sin, you will live for eternity. We need to be gentle to those that are oppressing us, those that are opposed to us. So many times when we witness to people that are outside of the will of God, we talk to them harsh. We talk to them like they're no good. We talk down to them. I stop by to tell you, you can't do that, because God didn't talk down to you when he reached down to in a filthy world and save you out of it. He was just as gentle to you as he could. I know he helped me. He hid a lot of my sins from me while I was out there in the world. He hid them from me. I thought I was all right. I thought I was a good man. I took care of my family. But God knew that there was sin in my life. And after a while, after hearing the word of God so many times, it woke me up just like a light shining in a dark room. Light shining in the room. And I looked at Baggett. I said, Baggett, you are sorry, no good wretch. You got to commit your life to God. When you commit your life to God, you say, Lord, I surrender all, and to you I give myself. I want to live on the Lord's side. I want to be on the Lord's side. When Jesus come back, I want him to come back. And when he come back, I want to be ready for him to take me home. I want to be on the Lord's side. When he come in me, I want him to see me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rulers over many. When we let God come into our life, everything will be all right. Sickness may come, death may come, but that's all right. I know Jesus, and Jesus is all right. He said in his word that he would not leave me, not forsake me. And when Jesus stay with me, everything is going to be all right. I love him because he first loved me. When you love him, you will do just what he said. Listen to me. Listen to me. Let me give you a testimony. And don't y'all feel sorry for me because I cry tears of joy. Those of you that know me know I've been on medicine for diabetes. And I've been asking God to take me off of it. In March, he took me off of one of them. I went to the doctor Tuesday. He took me off the other one. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. You have to petition before God. And when you petition before God, if you live on the Lord's side, God will do what he said. I said, I need to come off of this because I need to be a witness for you. And God, if you do it, I'll tell him. I'll tell him. You can say I'm bragging all you want. I don't care. I am bragging. I'm bragging on God. Listen. I was taking 3 pills a day for diabetes. As of Tuesday morning, I'm not taking anything for diabetes. Those of you that know diabetes, my A1C was 5.8. 6.0 is non-diabetic. Mine was 5.8. I said, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And listen, but now, this morning, when I had my talk with God and asked him if I could tell y'all, he told me, yeah, you can tell him. But you can tell them it's left up to you whether you stay there or not. It's left up to me whether I stay there or not. I'm trusting in God, but I got to do my part. I love pancakes. I love to go to Cracker Barrel, eat those 3 pancakes with those strawberries and those peaches on it. I love to do that. And I would probably do it every day if my wife would let me, but I don't even think about going now. And she, when she used to make biscuits, she'd make what we call them cat heads. You know, it wouldn't be them little Pillsbury biscuits like this. I would eat 2 or 3 of them with some homemade syrup with butter in it. But now you know how I eat it. I eat it like I'm eating it now. I talk about it. And when I talk about it, it's just as good to me as if I was eating it, because I know I'm not going to eat it now, because God done fixed me. Well, I'm trying to be a living testimony for what God can do if we stay in his word. And I'll share this with you. I haven't even told my wife this. The dermatologist that I went to the other day, he had me to take my shirt off, and he was looking at me. And he said, Mr. Seth, so how old are you? I said, I'm 72. He said, no. I said, yeah, I'm 72. He said, well, I sure couldn't tell him. I said, thank you, God. Just like that. Just like that. Thank you, God. Because God did it. God did it. I didn't do it. God did it. Because if we trust in him and live according to his word, live on his side, if we live on his side, God will bless you. Anything that happens to me that's outside of the will of God, I can tell you whose fault it is. It's mine. And if we live the way God would have us to live, he will get the glory out of our life. Now let me help somebody else right here right quick. If you diabetic, high cholesterol, blood pressure, whatever you got, don't you stop based on Dwight Bank. If you're taking medication for that, don't you stop based on me. You stop based on what you and your doctor say in your body. That's what you stop on. But my doctor said for me to stop. I got to go back in 3 months to get a check. But to me, I'm good to go because I'm living on the Lord's side. And when you live on the Lord's side, we have chosen up sides, and I'm on God's side. And I know I got a winner because I've gone and I've read Revelation.
Amen.
So if we're going to live on the Lord's side, you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross. And you got to follow after Jesus. If you do those three things, you will be on the Lord's side. Is it easy? Yes. Is it difficult? Yes and no. The no is if you give in to your flesh. If you give in to your flesh. I got to